It just so happens that the theme of that song works very well with the message that I had been preparing. I didn't exactly plan it that way, but when Brother McKeever asked to sing that song, I realized how perfectly it would fit with the message that I had been thinking over and praying over. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to take them and turn to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go to chapter number 13. And we're just going to read one verse right in the middle of the chapter, verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. The Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." There's a lot of things in our life that influence us and cause us to make different decisions in a big way. And here in Proverbs, we're reminded that really, the people that we associate with and the influences that we choose to allow in our lives have a major impact on whether we'll be able to live for God, whether we will ignore the things of God, or whether we will be able to be used by God. And so as we consider things tonight, I want to talk to you and challenge you on this idea of walking with wise people. And it's a message that is helpful from our youngest children in the auditorium to everyone else above that age group, that we can learn to walk with wise people and benefit from that. I want to start out by having you make some associations. If we think about an action or a particular title of someone, a responsibility that someone might have, I want you to think about the immediate connection that comes to your mind when I say that person's title. So, for example, if I said that a baker, what do they do? Well, they bake, right? So a baker bakes. What does a teacher do? Teaches. What does a football player do? All right. Glad to see that all of you are following that. What does maybe a doctor do? Practices medicine, takes care of patients, that type of thing, right? What about if I was to start a phrase? I wonder if you could finish this. 15 minutes could. All right, well, Jonathan Medica, what is it? What is it? It's Geico, right? So 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. This message is not sponsored by Geico. But we hear that message probably thousands of times throughout our daily course of life. And the point is that a message that is repeated that frequently will begin to influence us to the point where most of us can recite that little jingle pretty quickly. And so what is it, though, that is most closely associated when we think of the fact that we are a Christian? What does God want everyone else to think about? What is that immediate connection that God wants people to think about when they say, oh, so-and-so is a Christian? What are the evidences of that? By far, the greatest evidence is found in Galatians 5:22, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that if we are a Christian who is following after the Lord, we will have the evidences of love in our life. We will have the evidence of joy in our life. We will have the evidence of peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. All of these things are things that will immediately be evidenced in our life as we think that we are a Christian. And those are the things that God desires for us to see in our life. So I want to challenge you tonight with four different quick points. We will get to the coffee cups eventually. Four quick points that have to do with walking with wise men. First of all, the point is, from the Bible, that the choices that we make in our life really do matter. There's a lot of talk in our society that the things that we do, from little children to teenagers to adults, they really don't matter. You can act however you want. You can live however you want. Children, maybe you can, you know, talk to your parents however you want. And that stuff really doesn't matter. We hear that philosophy being told to us over and over and over through the world. But the Bible says that the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, they really do matter. They have consequences. And we need to be intentional about the things that we are doing. Living right doesn't happen by accident, right? Have you ever gone to your house and just found that it was miraculously cleaned? Kids, have you ever gone to your bedroom after your mom told you to go clean your bedroom and just suddenly the bedroom was clean? There was nothing that was on the floor. There was no dirty clothes. There was nothing, right? The bedroom doesn't just clean itself by it. The bedroom doesn't clean itself by itself. It takes someone making an intentional choice. It takes someone fulfilling their responsibility, obeying their parents, those types of things for it to actually get cleaned. The dishes don't just get cleaned on their own. It takes intentional decision for us to have a clean household. And so in our Christian life, the same thing can be said that the things of value that we have in our lives are made by us making decisions on purpose. We don't grow in our Christian life by accident. We don't become a more bold Christian. We don't become a more faithful Christian just by happenstance. We need to make intentional decisions that are going to lead us in that right way. If you think about it, there's a lot of things that we think about in our lives that to us matter a whole lot, but in light of eternity, don't really matter that much. Now, the first one that I thought of, I knew I was going to get some feedback and pushback from this, because the first category that really doesn't matter in light of eternity, so, is sports, right? It doesn't really matter who won the game. Now, it is important to a lot of people who won the game. But it's far more important for an athlete to understand that it's important how you played the game than just that you won. Because if you won by cheating, God isn't going to be honored by that victory. And it really shouldn't be considered a victory. There's a lot of things that people think about that they make a big deal. For example, what other people think of us, right? We all make a big deal about what other people think about us, what they say, what someone else's reaction going to be. But it's far more important on how we act and what we think about other people and how we treat other people than what they think of us. Those sorts of things can be applicable in a variety of sense where, you know, social media has just exemplified this, where people are very concerned about their importance or their appearance, right? But does it really matter how many likes we have? No, it matters more that we're able to use maybe some influence that we have for the cause of Christ, that we're able to use an opportunity, a platform, a voice that will encourage other people to live for God. And sometimes a small little decision makes a really big difference in our lives. And it can be a small decision for good that has a big impact, or it can be a small decision for bad that has a big impact in our life. Last week, Dr. Brown was preaching, and he mentioned Joshua conquering the city of Jericho. And I want to follow up on that, and let's take our Bibles and go to Joshua chapter number 7, and we're going to continue sort of where he left off. And some of you might know where I'm going with this, but we're going to see an example of someone who made a small decision to do wrong, small decision to go the wrong way, to do the wrong thing, and the consequence that came about as a result of that. So God had given the command to the children of Israel to go into Jericho and to destroy the city. They weren't supposed to take anything for themselves. They weren't supposed to, you know, take any of the spoil that they saw as they went into the city of Jericho. But there was a man named Achan who ignored that command of God, and he said, this is one small little thing, and it really won't matter if I take these clothes that I found. It won't really matter if I take this these jewels that I found, the things that he found. He thought that it wasn't going to matter. But let's look at Joshua chapter number 7, and we'll start reading at verse 16. Now, this is after Achan had taken everything. He had disobeyed the commandment of God, and they were trying to figure out, why is it that we don't have God's blessing on our lives? And so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So he's trying to eliminate people and try to figure out who is it that actually has sinned against God. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites. And he brought the family of the Zerite man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And 19 and 20 of Joshua chapter number 7 says, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray unto thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And so he came to the point where he realized that the small little decision that he had made had a major consequence in the lives of the children of Israel, to the point where Joshua, the leader of Israel, said, we need to figure out who this is that has sinned against God and brought this reproach to the name of God and this punishment to the nation of Israel. As we think about our lives, there's often, on a daily basis, decisions that we are going to make that we may be tempted, like Achan, to say, it's not a big deal that I make a small little compromise. It's not important that I do exactly what God told me to do. But the Bible tells us that it is important. And it's important for everyone, from our youngest child in this room to our oldest senior saint in this room, to remember that the decisions that we make on a daily basis have not only a consequence on our life, but a consequence on the lives of others around us as well. Some things that God specifically in the Word of God tells us to do. I just wrote down a list of a couple of things. Obey authority. Ephesians 6:1 talks about children obeying authority. But do you know, it's easy for us as adults to think, well, we're not children anymore. We don't have to obey authority. I mean, I can drive down the road as fast as I want, right? I don't have to obey authority. But I think it's a good reminder for us, no matter our age, to remember that God wants us to obey authority. He's put them in our lives for a reason. He's put them there for our protection. And God wants us to obey authority. Another specific thing that God tells us to do is to love one another. And that's a tall order sometimes, that we are to truly love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So God told us that we are to love one another. God told us specifically that we are to forgive. Ephesians 4 talks about, 4:32 talks about being kind to one another, forgiving one another. And it is startling to think about how many people sit there with grudges against other people, even Christians, that they are not willing to forgive. But God has specifically told us that we are to forgive other people. There are things in the Bible that God tells us to do in principle. Maybe it's not directly stated, but there are things that God has told us to do. For example, listen to good music, to surround yourself with good music. That is something that God wants us to do in our life. He wants us to be generous with our resources. That is something that, in principle, God tells us to do. God tells us to dress right, to live right, to be right, to be a testimony to other people, to the world around us. Those are things that God tells us to do. And the choices that we make have major consequences. So the first point is that the choices that we make really do matter. The things that we do matter. Number two, God has promised to give wisdom for our choices. As we make decisions, it's easy to face a decision and really not know what is the correct way to go. But God has promised that if we lack wisdom, He will give it to us so that we can make the right decision. James 1 verse 5 is probably the most familiar verse in the entire Bible, which talks about seeking God for wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So the promise is that if we lack wisdom, we are to ask of God, and God will give it to us freely, unhindered, joyfully. He gives us the wisdom that we need. But how many times do we face a decision and instead of asking God for wisdom, we worry about the decision, we fret about the decision, we anguish over the decision, rather than just going to God and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? God has the answer for us, and we just need to go to Him. Now, I want to give an illustration of this. It involves these coffee cups. Now, sadly, there is actually no coffee in these coffee cups, all right? But there are some other objects in the coffee cups, hopefully that you might enjoy. So I need a wise person to volunteer. So a wise person over the age of, let's say 50. Any volunteers, someone that considers themselves to be wise over the age of 50. All right, Thomasina?
Yes.
All right. She's the only brave person who actually was willing to volunteer. All right. So, Thomasina, if I was to ask you, and I was to say, in one of these cups, there's money. Okay? Now, because I'm a poor man, I didn't put a lot of money in there, but there's a dollar bill in there. All right? So, in one of these cups, there is money. In another cup, there's Skittles, because I like Skittles and have them in my office, and so I put Skittles in there. Now, in the other cups, there's nothing, right? So out of seven cups, would you immediately be able to identify, without touching them, just by looking at them, would you be able to identify which cup had the money and which cup had the candy and which cup had nothing? No, she would not, okay? Now, I want to ask a wise young person. So Tally raised her hand immediately. So, Tally is wise. All right, Tally, come up here. She's, again, one of the most brave young people that would admit that she's wise. Okay, so Tally, starting at cup number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, can you tell me, without touching the cups, can you tell me which cup has candy and which cup has money in it? So pick a number between 1 and 7. All right, so you don't know right away, right? You don't know which one has money and which one has candy in it, right? Now, up here in my Bible, I have a piece of paper. I think. All right. Maybe it's in my pocket. No, not. All right. Here it is. Okay. All right. So, what if I go to this wise lady right here, and she has to put on her glasses. All right. So, what if I go to this wise lady, and I tell her the answer? So, she knows which cup has candy, and she knows which cup has money in it, right? Now, what do you think would be a good way to figure out which cup has candy in it and which one has money in it? Well, to look inside. Okay, but without, in the absence of that being an option, all right, if she knows the answer and I know the answer, what do you think would be a good idea? Maybe to ask one of us and see if we were willing to show you the answer, right? So if I said, this is the answer, which of these do you want? She chose the money. All right. So, all right, there you go. Now you can buy yourself some candy. All right. Dan, you trained your child well. All right. So the point is, all right, so the point is that a wise older person has wisdom. They may know the answer because God has led them through an experience that has taught them something. And so for the young people today, to think about this, when we have a decision to make, when we have a challenge that we're facing, God's placed people who have wisdom in our life that we can go to them and say, what was your experience like and what helped you to navigate this particular challenge in your life? God's given us those resources that are there to help us. So we can go to God in prayer, we can seek God's word, but we also can go to the people that God has put in our life that are there to be a help to us. And sometimes, young people, we ignore the parents, the teachers, the preachers, the wise older people that God has put in our life. That, you know, they've learned a lot of lessons, they've learned a lot through their life, and it would be wise for us to pay attention to the things that they have learned, rather than to just go our own way and to make our own decision without consulting people that God has placed there. So the Bible says that if we walk with wise men, we are going to be wise. Now, walking is an intentional activity, right? We don't just walk by accident. But the idea of walking with wise men is that idea of perhaps fellowshipping, of coming alongside of someone who has learned something and taking the time, asking the questions, so that we can benefit from the wisdom that God has given them in their life. So God has promised to give us wisdom for the choices that we will make throughout our lives. Wisdom is found specifically for the decisions that we have to make. And wisdom is given from God generously. We can learn wisdom, or we can receive wisdom from our daily walk and our fellowship with the Lord. Of all the things that we can do that will help us find wisdom is to walk with God, to seek God, to spend time in His Word. And we can also gain wisdom from accountability with other Christians. God loves us so much that He's given us everything that we need to make the right decisions. He's given us the teachers, the parents, the preachers, everyone that we need that will help us to make the right decisions. But think about this. A head full of wisdom doesn't do any good unless we act upon it, right? A head full of wisdom doesn't do any good unless we act upon it. And that brings us to our third point, that obeying God's way will require faith. Obeying God's way will require faith. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In both cases, it's continual activity over a period of time that shapes and molds the person. It's that activity over time that helps someone to become wise as they walk with wise people. It doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a week. But it does happen as we continue over many years to walk wisely. But the same thing can be said for the opposite, that a day spent with fools, a week spent with fools, a year spent with fools will have devastating consequences in our life and lead us to the point where we make really bad decisions. It's not just what we know, but it's who we know. Salvation is not just about knowing about Jesus Christ. Salvation is knowing Jesus Christ, asking Him for forgiveness for sins, and that He's given us freely, that He's given His life freely for us so that we can be saved, so that we can have an eternal home in heaven. And that begins by obeying God's will. It takes faith to live for God. The saddest example that we have of this in the Bible is the example of King Solomon. Right? King Solomon lived his life, and he, at the beginning of his life, asked God for wisdom. And God gave him an amazing amount of wisdom. And he, through his life, was used by God tremendously because he had wisdom. He penned most of the book of Proverbs. And so we have that book of wisdom that guides us in our life. But King Solomon ended up failing in his life because he didn't obey God. Because God said, don't take of the women of the pagan nations. He said, don't marry all these women. Don't seek after them. Don't seek to build a relationship with them. But sadly, King Solomon ignored God's instruction. And he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter if I marry one of these pagan women. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to harm my relationship with God. But we see clearly that what God said would happen did happen. And it did harm his relationship with God. And it did have devastating consequences in his life. So it's not just about what we know, but it's about obeying what we know and doing what God tells us to do. As we have faith, it's important to remember that our faith is in, or who our faith is in, right? Our faith is in an unchanging God, someone who does not change. From the beginning of time to the end of time, God will not change. Our faith is in an all-powerful God, that He has the power to move mountains, to make things happen for us, to help us grow. And our faith is in an all-loving God. There's a lot of people in our world today that say God is not loving, but it's just not true. And the greatest demonstration of that love was Him sending Jesus Christ to be our Savior. But in all of these cases, we need to be willing to take that step of faith. I was thinking about this. When the children of Israel, when God called the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea, when He spread the Red Sea and made a path through that ocean for them, the parents had to take a step of faith. The leaders had to take a step of faith. The children had to take a step of faith. Everyone had to take a step of faith. And it's the same thing in our lives, that as we live for God, we will face time and time again that there will be things that God requires for us to take a step of faith. As Jesus was preaching and teaching, He often gave this example. And I want you to think about maybe which side of the spectrum you would identify most closely with. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." If we hear but fail to do, then we will be just like that foolish man whose house collapsed because he did not pay attention. He did not act upon the things that God wanted him to do. So obedience requires a step of faith. And then lastly, if we think back to what Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says about wise men walking with wise men, foolish men experiencing what foolish men say in their lifestyle and the consequence of that, that having the right friends and being the right friend is all in God's plan. Sometimes in sports, we hear them talk about trusting the process, right? But in our Christian life, we need to trust the one who created the process. He has planned everything. And being the right kind of Christian is in God's plan for us. God will challenge us in our lives so that we can become better Christians. God will shape us in our lives so that we can become better Christians. God will change us into His image by bringing trials and difficulties in our life. But through it all, God will help us. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." We will never have to regret following after God because God's promised that when we follow Him, there will be no sorrow associated with our obedience to Him. So as we close this evening, I just want to challenge you in several of these categories. When it comes to your life and the lives of others around you, are the friends that you have, are the people that you are associating with, are the influences that you're allowing in your life, are they encouraging you to grow in godliness towards the Lord? Or are they starting to pull your heart maybe a little bit away? Maybe tonight you've heard this message and you need to think about correcting or making some correct choices, doing the right thing. Maybe you need to seek God for wisdom. Maybe you're at a place where you need to take a step of faith. Or maybe you just need to be the right friend that will encourage someone else to do one of those things. As we close this evening, I want you to think about that and let God work in your life. Let's close in prayer. Lord,